Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Over 70 hours per week of Houston's best local sports talk. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC at KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know, we last week we were talking about, do you pay guys early? And Jordan is looking more and more and more like a guy that you should take care of. You don't ever want him to ever think about leaving. Lance McCullers, I think, is going to agree. Jordan is... how about Jordan? If Jordan does anything in the field, you're like, oh my God, what a... Because is Jordan a career... He's a career DH, right?
Yeah, it has to be. Well, do you want him in the outfield? Now, granted, that was a hell of a throw.
I should. I
left field.
I really would like him at first base, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, I think now ultimately his it gives other people an opportunity to be DHs at different times. Yeah, when you have Houston's pretty lucky to have the amount of hitters that they have outside of the lineup too. So yeah, that would be nice.
But right now, you've got a Gold Glove first baseman.
He needs to be first base or at least DH caliber in his future.
Yeah,
he needs to have the ability.
It sure
to
would be nice if he was willing. As long as he is, you know, if he can scoop him and he can stretch like nobody else, you know, he would be awesome if he can play a good first base, decent first base, a good first base. It would be unbelievable, and then you can get somebody else with a bunch of bulk in there. But he's in the outfield, and he's making assists on Tyler France, throwing him out at second base. And here's what Lance McCullers had to say.
Absolutely. I mean, Jordan, he played great out there. He's been playing great out there. You know, he had a nice catch on the line as well earlier in the game. You know, he's got great arm strength. You know, he seems like he's got a good feel out there for a guy who, you know, hasn't had a bunch of reps. But, you know, have a guy like Jordan to be able to play defense like that, make throws like that, and then obviously we just play a total keep playing defense like that, Bob, you're going to get $500 million. So, you know, I love seeing him out there. He does a great job. I know he likes being out there as well. So it's great. It's great to see him add that, you know, layer to his game because he's worked hard on it.
It was so good to see Jordan healthy and back out in the lineup. You know, as I mentioned earlier in the show, He hit a foul ball off of his leg that he hit the dirt and had to leave. He couldn't continue, and it really looked like a serious injury. But he was back, took a day off. He was back in the lineup and, you know, making plays with his bat, making plays with his right arm. Jake Myers is doing it again. His home run. Did you see the home run?
Yeah.
Rocket shot. Rake Myers, as they call him, and with good reason. Rake Myers is absolutely, he's damn near, he's creeping up to that 900 mark. Again, from an OPS standpoint, and he's hitting over 320. The play that, you know, his play this year is one of these secret storylines headed into the playoffs where you're going to have a lot of announcers in the playoffs talking about young Jake Myers, the rookie. And Jose Altuve, one of the, I don't know, Mr. Astro? Is it too early to call him Mr. Astro?
Even well, though he still plays? A little, maybe.
I mean, he's played a lot of baseball.
Yeah, he's not
he's
Mr.
a future Hall of Famer.
He's not Mr. Astro.
Who's Mr. Astro?
Per se yet. I don't know. Jose Altuve, Craig Biggio, Jeff Bagwell.
Bagwell, Biggio are the only two. That
Jose Altuve.
And, well, that would be in the same conversation with Altuve.
Oh, yeah.
Altuve
yeah.
will, okay. Once he's done playing, Jose Altuve will be Mr. Astro along with those guys. It'll kind of be a little.
Would you think Jake Myers has a chance to overtake him?
I don't know if he does, but Jose Altuve has some nice things to say about him.
His play discipline, how hard he hit the ball. You know, he's been making some really good plays in the outfield. He's a, you know, a fight-to player for me. He works hard. He's a great teammate, and I'm happy that he's doing really good.
See, Jose Altuve, everybody wants to get, listen, take care of that guy. Honestly, Bregman is great, and you took care of him early on. This is a guy you really, really, when you lose that Verlander money and everybody's talking, well, you got all that money, you can pay Carlos Correa. Pay Jordan. Give Jordan money. Give him love early in his career.
Be make cheaper, him $100. Be cheaper than Carlos.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah.
I would wait a little bit. You still got a lot of time left with Jordan.
Well, let's go.
Why?
Pay that man his money.
No, you can pay that man his money in 2 years. Well, still do it 2 years early.
Well, listen, he is.
There's no chance he has to pay.
You want to make him so that there is never, ever any doubt that he's going to be a lifer.
Well, you can still do that in 2 years.
You can do that now, too.
2 years. There's no way the Astros would do it.
I'm glad you're not his agent.
Four years?
You're trying to do a Carlos Correa deal, and you're trying to get rid of Jordan. Nicely done.
The Astros will not do a deal that early when they have club control.
They did it with Bregman? And that was that early, yes.
They're not doing it with Jordan that early. The guy who has had surgery on both knees, he is not an everyday fielder either. I don't think they're doing it that early. I mean, they could, but don't see it happening.
He's got 4 years left under team control. Well, the team control this year and then arbitration for 3 years. You watch. Maybe it's after this season and they just don't have to go through arbitration with him. But and especially with the arbitration numbers that this dude is going to have, which are up there with the Babe Ruths and the greatest starts in Major League history. But yeah, pay that man his money. Give him some love and make sure that he stays here forever. You don't want New Orleans going anywhere. 5.5 game lead now for your Astros over the Mariners. And listen, it is so amazing how different this baseball team looked. But then they come back here and they put up another 11 spot on them after throwing 11 and 13 on or 15 on them last time they were in town. It is just amazing how different it is when Seattle comes here. Seattle has against the Astros in this park.
You don't know which Astros are going to show up against Seattle and which Seattle's going to show up against the Astros. You can either struggle to put a run on the board or fire off an 11, a 13, or a 15 because they put all three of those up there over the last 3 weeks. They've had an 11, a 13, and a 15 against the Mariners. When the offense gets rolling, I mean, they steamrolled them early on. They just steamrolled the Mariners early on, and that was nice to see. Over the weekend, do you have any thoughts on? I know you were traveling, so you probably weren't able to see Astros. You could have kept up with them a lot, but I really wanted them to win. I really wanted them to take care of business against Padres. That's just one of those. It's just one of those name brand teams that you want to see the Astros do well against. Getting beat with a walk off's a bad feeling,
right? I'm telling you this. I know as much as people, you got Stanek'd and all of this stuff. Ryan Stanek is going to play a major role in this postseason.
Stop saying that out loud with your mouth.
No one
wants to hear you say things like that. It's almost like a curse. Like you're saying swear words at an infant. You don't do something hateful like that.
I could see him coming up in a game situation late in the postseason, eighth inning. And maybe even using them instead of Graveman. There, I said it. Loves Stanek. He doesn't care about y'all. Well, Stanek lost that. Whatever. Ryan Stanek has been here for him this year, and he has no qualms about throwing him
He'll go to him
in a leverage situation.
He'll go to him once again. I mean, Presley, Graveman. Graveman's got to get together because there's nowhere to go. With Graveman is going to be. I mean, it's not like he's terrible, but he's had some bumps here recently, and Graveman, Presley, these are your top two. You're going to be going with Graveman, Presley. We got to see what happens with Odorizzi and Urquidy.
No, we're not
going
to see what happens with Odorizzi. That's what do you mean? That book's already been written.
Well, meaning how? Probably so. Urquidy was okay in his first game back.
Yeah.
He had his first start back. But, yeah, Stanek, I mean, Yimi, there's still a lot of. I would tell you that the bullpen. I won't say it's in flux, but I think it's fluid. I think who gets used and how they get used. Well, to me, it feels fluid. In real life, it should be fluid, but you might be right. Dusty may have already have this figured out, and it's just a matter of you can perform how you're going to perform, but this is exactly how he's going to use you. You and I have conversations like, okay, who's your final three? Okay, who are your big four? Okay, who's your middle guy? Dusty probably already knows exactly who he's using and how he's using them. But to me, I don't know how you use Yimi. I'm not sure. I know Blake Taylor. Blake Taylor's going to be in.
He's going to be
in. But then Brooks Raley shouldn't be for sure in
but
yet.
But
they've used him all year like
him.
He
don't
is.
Don't sleep on him. Don't sleep on him. You know it's going to be Presley. You know it's going to be Graveman. Stanek is going to be part of the mix. Stanek. Taylor's going to be part of the mix. And Raley is going to be part of the
mix. And Javier.
And Javier is.
So that doesn't make Raley. What about Yimi?
I don't know how right now you could have any confidence in him.
What about Maton?
Maton's going to probably be.
Maton ahead of Raley, right?
And Bilak is.
No, don't stop. Stop. No one.
He likes Bilak more than you do.
Bilak.
I'm telling you right here and now, he likes Bilak more than you do.
What are you looking to play? Skeeter ball? That's a Skeeter guy.
Don't sleep on Bilak being part of the postseason roster.
No, that's Skeeter ball.
And you know what? There's a chance that Yimi's not. There's a chance that he does.
Can you imagine trading for Yimi and he's not even on your postseason? He's not even in your first round roster.
It's
very possible.
It absolutely is. Although he's looked better than he has early on with the Astros.
I think
his last four outings have been decent.
Yeah, Yimi?
Yeah.
No, they have been.
Yeah.
He has had, but he's also, look how they're using him. I mean, they're using him earlier in games. He was in a fifth inning the other day.
That's
when
fine.
They brought him in.
That's fine.
Well, I mean, he went from closer to early relief help.
Closer with the Marlins translates to fifth inning with the Astros.
Yeah. Not typically. They traded for him because their bullpen stunk.
My friend, is true. 713-780-3776. Maton's part of the deal.
Maton's absolutely part of the deal. I mean, Maton is going to be in there taking care of business. He had two really bad outings back-to-back against the Royals and against the Rangers. But since that time, four appearances, it's been 3 2/3 innings. He's given up two hits during that time. Two walks and 10 strikeouts. No, 8 strikeouts. I'm sorry, not in the last four. It'd be 6 strikeouts. But still, Maton's been solid.
Yep.
I would have Maton ahead of Brooks Raley all day long.
Yeah, yep, yep, yep.
That's the problem is we're sitting here. Where does Yimi go? Does he go? Like, no, they're not clearly defining their roles, at least to us. Maybe to Dusty, their roles are already clearly defined.
Well, we'll see when the postseason it changes up to.
When we come back, I want to do this. A coach, let me read what somebody said on Twitter, and this is why we have to get to this. Art said something on Twitter, our friend Art, and he's more of an acquaintance. He says some really hateful things. I don't want to be attached to some of the things he says.
I don't want to be attached to anything Art says.
He said, should Brian Kelly be charged with assault or attempted murder? And he means that, and we got a soundbite that'll tell you why Art is asking that.
Well, it's a threat anyway.
Yeah. It's not attempted murder.
Yet. Slow down, Art.
They're just threats.
Yeah.
We will hear his verbal threat.
It is a terrorist
Terroristic threat just came up on a post game.
Hey, golfers, listen up. Time for the Dirty Birdie Charity Golf Classic presented by DeCrew DeRue and powered by Mac Vibe Services. It's Friday, September 17th at Battleground in Deer Park. If you've never been there, done that. Like Battleground, it is a nice, nice day. But the most important thing is that you have fun and you raise money. Proceeds benefit the Elmina Shriners, Ronald McDonald House of Galveston, and the American Heart Association. It's September 17th, Friday. It's a great way to start your weekend. You take the day off. You party like a maniac. Get a ride there and get a ride home. And it's just a party. We've been there, done that. It is fun. We're going to be out there Battleground in Deer Park for the Dirty Birdie Charity Golf Classic. If you're looking for a lot of fun and you're looking to help raise money for great causes, there's one way to do it. Go to ESPN975.com and click on the button for the Dirty Birdie Charity Classic. ESPN975.com.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN975.
Hey, soccer fans, Glenn Davis here. Thank you for supporting Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm. And don't forget, to get the best in soccer talk online, go to iTunes or podcastarena.com.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. You know our friend Dez, Larry Futsack? She was at the Cougs game, and she videotaped the fight up in the stands. It was pretty good. It was okay. It wasn't like Dodger fight. It wasn't great like that. But it had some decent moments. Oh man, even the ladies were getting hair, punching faces. Yeah, it got heated.
I want to know what it really started over.
Anytime you have a rivalry like that, Texas Tech and U of H, you know what with the history of Dana being there for 8 years. And now, I'm not blaming this on Dana at all. I'm just saying, hey, ooh, pulling hair. Ooh, punching in the face.
You see the woman take her wig off yet?
Yeah. Ooh, she is pounding that dude in the face. He wanted no part of it.
There was no security. Where the hell is all the security?
I know. This lasted about 20 minutes.
These are the fancy people that pay extra for their tickets. How are they not protected by security?
Yeah, this is in the lowest level.
No, this isn't lower. This isn't lower bowl. This is the club level.
I said lowest level.
No, yeah. She was in the club level.
Oh, this is the club?
Yeah. If you look back behind, like, you can see
like
the wall of the
three
club.
Rows, three, oh,
not
whatever.
Suites. It's the club.
Whatever. Oh, yeah. Okay. But man, somebody get in there and break this up, because that girl's going to hurt somebody punching in the face like that. That dude was just minding his own business, getting his ass kicked by another guy, and she comes up and punches him in the face. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. I like it. What is with fans?
Hey, you like it.
Yeah, it was fun. What is with, as long as I'm not a part of it, I don't care. I like to watch the videos of people mixing it up. What is the deal with what right now, where every game there's like somebody in the stands is getting their ass handed
well,
to them?
Yeah, you know, I don't. When I go to games, I swear I never see fights at games.
No.
Now, when I used to go to UFC fights, I've probably been to about seven or
eight
of those.
That's a little different with the testosterone.
You always knew that all of a sudden you'd see an entire stadium, you'd look, and there's an entire group of people across the way who are all looking up to the left, like, with their necks cranked up, and like, oh, second level is, there's somebody scrapping up there. That'll happen at UFC fights, but we see it all the time with Dodgers. You know, that's how Dodger fans roll. But now Clayton Tune's got people fighting in the stands between Texas Tech and Houston. What is this world come to?
Well, I don't think Clayton Tune started.
You don't know that. You don't know for sure that one of his interceptions, somebody didn't go, told you Tune sucks, like, hey, watch your mouth. And then, you know, something like that. Something like that could happen.
You see? That's great. That one dude is just holding the guy back, and she comes up, pulls his hair, and punches him in
over
the face,
top.
Over and
haymakers.
Over. It's just good.
And our friend Dez is sitting there recording it. She didn't get
the
up there
time.
And start
hey,
throwing.
Hey, Dez, mix it up in there. Mix it up in there, Dez. What are you
At
doing?
At one point, she's standing up. You can see the very beginning. She's standing up. Then she goes to a lower level. And it's always good to see people sitting right above where the fracas is going on, just minding their own business, watching the game. Mm-hmm.
And then,
by the way, no security ever came at any point.
This is 20 minutes.
This video lasts 2 minutes and 20 seconds. It feels like it lasts 22 minutes.
So, and then there's the group of people that were just having a good time watching it.
Chilling. Just
they're
like,
just, yeah, hey, okay. This is good. This is fun.
You just don't like when it spills into your section.
No, and it did. It spilled into their section.
You ever been around a fight like that at a game? I don't.
No, not that
I'm
close.
I'm trying to
never.
Think. I never have been.
No, I've seen it, obviously. You look up and there's a fight going on, but never like in my area.
No, I haven't either. I haven't been to enough games and seats where I guess, I've never been a season ticket holder other than when my father-in-law had Rocket season tickets. But we never saw fights there in the
stands. No. Well, listen. In the end zones of Texans games, there's some dust ups.
Now I've seen dust ups One time on the ramps when you're walking up or down to the NRG Stadium, I saw Texans fans getting into it, and I've seen it out in the parking lot, but never in the game. I just haven't seen it.
And I don't think that'll happen this year at Texans game because there won't be too many people in close proximity sweating on each other, trying to get arm room because there will be plenty of seats available. So just sit wherever you want, everybody, when you go to the Texans game this year.
MLB.
And stay away from people that you think might, come up and punch you in the face.
Yeah. MLB underscore fights, at MLB underscore fights. It's called Baseball Fight Club. But I've noticed now they're just posting stuff from college football games now because here's a fight from a Memphis football game, too.
Oh, that one was pretty good, too.
Yeah,
that was in the end zone. Out of the end, yeah,
yeah.
That was a good one. That was a good one. You mentioned so we had a coach. There are possible charges, terroristic threats.
Oh my God, this guy's just punching everybody.
Yeah,
everyone gets a punch.
Everybody got one. Yeah, in the end zone in that game. Yeah, that was good. But you mentioned that there were terroristic threats. Here is a head coach talking about his team. Here's a head coach talking about his team after the game and how they executed. Oh, it's Brian Kelly.
Number three.
Yeah, it's Brian Kelly. This is the Notre Dame head coach talking about his team's execution after the football game.
I'm in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight. I mean, we just didn't execute very well.
And then he followed that up by having this to say.
You said something in your post-game interview right after the game about executing the entire team. Just, can you elaborate on that?
Oh, it's an old John McKay quote. I was kidding. It was tongue-in-cheek.
No, well, that's not the John McKay quote, though. McKay's quote was, hey, how about your team's execution tonight? And John McKay said, I'm all for it.
Well, that's hilarious. Yeah. But, wait, who asked this question? What, could you elaborate on wanting to execute your entire team? Play that soundbite again. Yeah. Look at this. How does this question, this bothers me. Yeah. That this is the society we live in where somebody has to, you know exactly what his... So what were you expecting him to say? No, I fully intend to have all of my players executed. Could you elaborate on wanting to execute everyone?
Here, did y'all not watch Game of Thrones? Yeah, the heads on the spikes? Yeah, I have.
Yeah, no, that's... Have, we wanted real executions.
How many players are allowed?
No, I'm sorry, did you think it was a joke? Yeah. No, I was looking for real executions. Here, let's listen to this question because, you got to get to the bottom of this comment because, it could be a real comment.
You said something in your post-game interview right after the game about executing the entire team. Just, can you elaborate on that?
Oh, it's an old John McKay quote. I was kidding. It was tongue-in-cheek.
You know what, though?
You said you're going to execute your whole team. Can you elaborate on that?
You know, though?
This is a question that gets asked, really.
It's funny to hear females talking about execution.
Stop with your Cam Newtonisms. Stop.
I mean, come on. No, you know what, her news director or her program or whatever. Hey, you got to ask him about what is this?
It's possible.
We got to get to the bottom. Executing this team.
See if you can get some more on the execution of the team because that's a big story. A head coach just threatened to execute his entire team. We've got to follow up on that because if somebody gets executed from the team, Brian Kelly is going to be first suspect, and there is a chance that that is murder one, premeditation, and he goes to prison. And if we can break that story, if we're able to get sound on that before the murder happens, it's going to be huge for our clicks. Yeah. It's going to be huge for us. I can't believe somebody actually asked a question about, so you threatened to execute your entire team. Please elaborate on that and your mode of execution. What are you looking for in this day and age of gun violence? Do you think it's right for you to be saying that you're executing people? Are we really this freaking... Y'all have to be for real. You have to start being for real. You can't quit. Some of you in the media have got to stop this fake-ass nonsense. We already know Twitter will do fake nonsense and social media will be fake outrage. You cannot feed into it with those kind of stupid questions after a game when you know that's clearly a joke, whether you think it's in poor taste or not. You can say, hey, would you like to take back that or did you think it was in poor taste?
please elaborate on your on. You said you wanted to execute your whole team. Come, stop being be for real.
No,
I don't even know how else to say it. Be for real. Stop playing. You stop playing. You already know Brian Kelly was joking. Why are you asking that question in a post-game news conference about elaborating on a joke that he made? Whether you think it's in poor taste or not, he made a joke, and now you want to follow up on that? God, that is just weaker than ice water.
Oh, really? We can't even call it the Red River Shootout.
I know. Anymore. It's a Red River Rally.
Rivalry.
It's
not even,
no, rivalries mean two people showdown. Don't like each other. No, guys, we're going to go to Red River Rally. Uplift. We don't need two people who are against each other. That's not right.
What about the world's largest cocktail party? We can't say that anymore, even though everybody's drunk.
No, no, no. You can, and it can be about, you can do stuff about drugs, alcohol. That's fine.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
They can't call it the world's biggest cocktail party anymore. They put the kibosh on that, too.
For what? Have you ever heard any, do you listen to music at all? Everything's just about. Are you
drugs?
Serious?
Well,
that you can't call it the world's largest cocktail party?
No, you can't. You can't call it anything.
For what? With the mixed messages we send, you can literally do everything or nothing. You can literally, everything is fair game, and you we no restrictions on anything ever for nothing, or you can't even say cocktail party. What? Can y'all, you know what? Do one. Either go full Handmaid's Tale or go full anarchy. I'm tired of straddling the fence between these two. Which one are we doing?
Yeah. By the way.
Can y'all pick one so we can do one?
By the way, I just remembered that off the top of my head, and it was right. John McKay did not say that. When asked about his team's execution,
his is actually more clever.
He said, I'm in favor of it. Yes. And Brian Kelly, you took maybe a step too far. I don't know. I don't know. In 2021, I don't know. Talking about executing everybody. Do you think now that somebody at Notre Dame, that now if somebody's going to try to execute the football team because of Brian Kelly?
I mean, it's certainly a possibility. Nonstop swinging on Twitch says, can you elaborate, please? Yes, I'm going to execute them cartel style. What if he doubled down on that cartel style execution?
Oh,
no. No, I'm just kidding. It's too late, Brian. You're fired.
Yeah.
That is the most soft-ass question. That's not even a soft question.
He should have said.
That's a stupid question.
Yeah, JD said. I would have leaned into it. Yeah, we're debating firing squad or guillotine, if you want to know the truth. Thanks for asking. But we haven't decided yet. As soon as we do, I'll break that
story
with you.
I'm going to let you know. ESPN's got it.
Yeah.
ESPN or Fox Sports or whatever. Wait, was that a, let's see, Notre Dame FSU? Yeah, it was an ESPN game. Or whoever it was.
Yeah.
But come on, man. That's just so unbelievable. Could you elaborate on wanting to execute your team? Huh? Elaborate on, that's a joke. Are you serious? Like, what would you, it would have been great if he said, how would you like for me to elaborate? What would you, like, what are you getting at? What is it that you need me to do? Are you afraid that I'm going to murder my team?
Yeah.
I would have wanted him to push harder. Are you worried that I'm going to murder my team, or do you want to know the mode of execution? Like, what is it that you want to know about? But he would have
elaborate.
He would have took so much heat if he would have done that, pointed out what a stupid thing that was to say. He could have said, look, I made a joke in poor taste. Do you want me to go into the execution, or is there a way that you want to, like, would you like to see him executed a certain way? What's your question exactly?
It's the 829 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-377. How about we could talk a little soccer on the other side with our man? He's going to join us right here on ESPN. Glenn Davis.
I got to find out if I'm supposed to be freaking out or not, because I'm kind of freaking out. If I go another World Cup and the U.S. isn't in it, I'm going to be pretty pissed off.
Well,
especially
I'm going to be pissed off. We'll talk to him on the other side about it. I'm going to be pissed off if you don't sell your car to Jean-Claude Wolf, because it's just stupid. I cannot stress this enough. If you're looking for the best way to sell this vehicle, it's John Clay Wolf. You know why? Well, I don't know. Do you want to, unless, you know, you're giving it to a relative, you're pretty much, or you're giving it to Cars for Kids. Okay, I get that. You want to be charitable? That's fine. Most people, though, they want the most money they can possibly get for their vehicle. Am I right? It's just a car. I want to get rid of it. And if I'm going to get rid of it, I want to get the most money I possibly can for it, because I have to buy another one. And I want to pay as little as possible for that one. So give me the most for my car. You know who does that? John Clay Wolf. He promises. Well, he backs it up with a guarantee. If he can't beat CarMax's offer, he's going to send you $100. And if you're looking for the best way to go about getting the most for your money, there's only one way to go, and that's GiveMeTheVIN.com. Even if you're going to sell it to the dealership, go in there armed with knowing how much you should get at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, we got some important stuff going on here. It's not only football. Football season is starting. We got pro football coming up. But we also, on Wednesday, we've got the Honduras and the U.S. men's national team going at it. And this is kind of a big deal, because the U.S. has tied El Salvador and they've tied Canada so far. And Glenn Davis is joining us right now here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Glenn, welcome to the show. Just the foremost authority on soccer in the city of Houston.
Yeah, we're lucky to have him.
And one of them in the country. Yeah. So, Glenn, how concerned should we be about the two ties to start?
I'd be very concerned, and I'll tell you why, because it's a real quick reminder about what happened in the last World Cup, and that was lack of qualification and how painful that was to a lot of people. So now we've been, you know, we've accelerated these young guys. They're playing on European clubs with names like Juventus, Red Bull, Dortmund, Chelsea, and, you know, the expectations are through the roof for these guys. And you can say all you want, oh, they haven't ever been in CONCACAF, and they haven't played on grass that's a little longer in El Salvador, and, you know, all these excuses. But, no, the pressure's on. This is where the rubber hits the road. You know, you can win all your Nations League titles and Gold Cups. That's great fun. But right now Mexico's taken a full 6 points in two games, and here we are sitting with two. We're going to be missing two of our better players against Honduras. This will not be easy down there. So I do think we should be concerned. And then I would temper that with, listen, there's 12 more games and an available 36 points. And the top three teams in CONCACAF go to the World Cup. The fourth place team goes into a playoff. So I would temper it, but definitely would be very concerned. I'm really interested to see what happens Wednesday night.
Yeah, you got to temper it also, because in the last six matches, the U.S. has yet to hit two goals in a single match over the last six. Can you talk about the issues? Number one, you know, tell us, give us an update on what's going on right now with Pulisic from a health standpoint. And number two, where are the goals going to come from? Because I assume this is going to continue to be an issue.
Yeah, so Pulisic, for all I know, is fine and healthy. I think you might be thinking of Gio Reyna, who obviously could have helped.
Reyna is a technical player.
Yeah, so I think you're thinking Reyna, Lance.
And McKinney, and we'll get to the player just sent packing a little bit. But where are the goals going to come from? It still doesn't change the fact that they haven't scored more than a goal in six straight outings.
Yeah, so the last game for me is basically a blueprint of how a lot of teams are going to play against the U.S. and CONCACAF outside of Mexico, and that is you defend deep, thick lines, you limit space, you keep them in front of you, and the U.S., you know, really could not break down Canada, quite frankly. I mean, they didn't move the ball quickly enough. They didn't get Pulisic and their playmaker Aronson on the ball enough. I thought they were pretty static. They were not mobile. They were not aggressive enough. I thought the start of the game was very poor. They gave up a corner inside the first minute. And, you know, 16 minutes into the game, they've been hit over the top twice on the counterattack. So the blueprint, I think, and I'm going to be interested to see what Honduras does, is to sort of defend very, very deep and make it thick and heavy and dare the United States to break you down. And this is not an easy thing to do, especially when you're missing one of your more technical players in Reyna. So, the challenge is how do you play against these deep defending teams? And you got to get penetration in wide areas. You got to really recognize moments to up the tempo. And you don't have your tempo guy in McKinney, and you don't have one of your more creative guys in Reyna.
Well, okay, so you don't have Weston McKinney, one of your tempo guys, but that's because of his stupidity, frankly. And this Correct. Isn't the first time this has happened with him either. Weston McKinney sent home by Greg Berhalter, the U.S. manager, for basically breaking protocol with the COVID protocol, and he was suspended, didn't play in the match against Canada. He's been sent back to Juventus, where last year he was also, back in April, he was suspended after he was found to have hosted a party that included a couple of teammates. He was also fined by police. I mean, you know, the COVID thing, I understand we have stadiums packed with people now, which is fine. But the rules of engagement with COVID for the players and the teams, they really haven't changed. And this can still have a big, big impact throughout sports, including potentially with qualifiers.
Oh, no question. I mean, you have to follow the rules. And the fact that this happens in World Cup qualifying, you know, I mean, look, you see all the former U.S. men's national team players. They're going nuts. They can't believe it. Because, you know, these guys played for the shirt. They got abused back in those days. It's, you know, you can't play the game. You're not good enough. So they see it very, very differently generationally, as I would as well. To make this type of mistake, though, is purely a selfish act. It has nothing to do with respecting your teammates. And frankly, they need this guy. That's the problem. If it was 18 on your roster, that's okay. They need this guy. They need his character. They need his character on the field. They need his sort of tempo, his aggressiveness, his leadership on the field in the way that he plays the game and carries himself. And they needed that the other night against Canada, because this guy's aggressive. He's the kind of guy that could have maybe up the tempo of your play, got people passing the ball faster, and you might have got out of there with 3 points. So huge, huge mistake, hugely selfish act, and what more can you really say?
Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. You will be able to hear him tonight and go in depth about this thing. What about playing three games in 6 days here?
Yeah, well, that's a challenge. So you saw Greg Berhalter, who you guys had in studio, remember?
We did.
You didn't grill him hard enough, I don't think. I think
he was new. He didn't even lose a game yet.
I know. That's right. You're right. I think he was undefeated at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he made 6 changes in the second game, so there'll be more changes in this one. You have to rotate the team. You gotta hope the depth of your team is there. But I'm worried about Honduras, because they got guys that can run too, very similar to Canada. And my idea is here, thinking that, you know, Cueto, the coach, is going to do maybe a similar thing that Canada did and sit back and say, okay, we dare you to break us down. And you know what? When you lose focus, we're going to hit you on the counterattack.
What's with the Canadians in soccer, with the women in the Olympics,
yeah,
and all this? What the hell is going on?
I don't think they played
What's
soccer.
What's going on? They don't play soccer. It's just hockey up there. What the hell is going on?
No, actually, there's a lot going on up there.
Apparently.
Yeah. I mean, the gold medal win was fantastic for Canada. The humility of those women was pretty incredible. And they did beat the U.S. women, as we know. They are going to accelerate their women's program. The men's side now, they've created sort of a league now that if guys don't go to the U.S. to play college and they don't go to play in MLS, they have a 7-team professional league now. So they got guys playing in Europe. They got arguably the best guy in CONCACAF, Alfonso Davies, who's the left back for Bayern Munich, probably the best guy in this region of the country who hurt the U.S. in that game. So they got a lot of good going on, actually.
Mm. And we, on the other hand, we got 2 points as we head, and you got the Honduras coming up. You got still got Jamaica. You got Panama. You got this is, and then Costa Rica and Mexico to finish this thing up, Glenn. That game against L3 could be huge, huge for the U.S.
Yeah, these are all huge games right now. After you draw 1-1, look, you got a wonderful opportunity Wednesday night to turn this thing around, turn the sentiment in a different direction. Like I said, there's 12 more qualifying games. That means there's 36 points available. It's a lot of games. But I don't think you want to leave after your first round to play with 3 points or 2 points. It's not a good optic. It's not a good look. And it does intensify the sort of preying on the mind and the reminder of, hey, you didn't qualify for the last World Cup.
Yep.
Lastly, Aaron tells us that you have never – are you intentionally not going to watch Ted Lasso, or does it just not – draw does it
just not excite you?
No. I want to, honestly, I want to watch it.
Okay.
You know, I just haven't gotten around to it. I guess it's on Apple TV,
yeah.
So I don't have Apple TV. And,
nobody
like
did
a lot of
that.
Guys my age, it takes 3 hours to figure out how to get Apple TV and get on there. I'm not very patient when it comes to that stuff. But actually, I've been so focused on soccer, sometimes it's hard to man can't live on soccer alone. I need some Ted Lasso in my life.
Yeah which right. is a show about a
which is
a,
which
goes
is more
to soccer.
Which is more soccer.
Yeah, but it's a good twist. It's comedy.
Yeah, people score in that one.
Yeah.
We get too serious about soccer sometimes, right? You guys didn't even ask me about Brazil and Argentina canceling their game down there.
Yeah, how about that? And there was some real I know that that Messi had, got a little feisty afterwards. Talk about that for a second, what went down there, because that was considered kind of a big deal.
Well, that was bizarre. I was like a lot of people. It's like you guys, when you got the game of the weekend that you're kind of looking at, right? And of course, mine was the U.S. qualifying game. And then, of course, we called the Dynamo game. That's a whole nother story. And then, I'm going, okay, I'm building my day around Brazil, Argentina. Come on, it doesn't get better than this. It's Messi, it's Neymar. And 5 minutes into the game, some guy in a pair of jeans kind of walks on the field, and they shut the thing down. And, you're trying to figure out what's going on. And there's protocol issues with four guys that play in the Premier League. The weird nature is this thing, it seems very political to me. You got a Brazilian agency, a health agency called Anvisa getting involved. You got the two federations. Messi saying, why did they wait till the game started to get this figured out? CONMEBOL looks like a bunch of clowns and a joke. And, of course, this is the country that did everything in its power during the height of the pandemic in Brazil, where it was raging everywhere, that they had to make sure that they hosted the Copa America. So, guys, it's insanity. I mean, common sense. I'm going to name a soccer team FC Common Sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get it in North America. Get something going here.
Let's go. Us three. We could be owners. We'll throw Aaron in there as well. Aaron's got a youth soccer career background.
I think people right now are dying for a little bit more common sense. I think they'd get behind the team. We'd sell a lot of shirts. I can tell you that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. We'd sell a lot of shirts.
FC Common Sense.
I
just gave somebody a great idea.
It's not going to get there until we see a lot better fights in the stands, like we've had with the start of the college football season.
Then you know you've arrived.
Yeah.
So
I know.
What was this? There was a fight at the U of H. Game?
Oh yeah, good one on Jesus. Twitter. Yeah, it's all over. It's going viral.
Is this
awesome.
Student body or is this?
It didn't look like
it. No, it was
just random fans.
Yeah, it was a Tech fan, none too pleased with some U of H fans, and then it got, and it was a good 3-4 minutes of nobody there stopping. It was just good, clean stuff for the whole family. Glenn.
You know what I love, guys? I love when fathers or mothers, frankly, decide to throw haymakers in front of their little kids and set a wonderful example.
The best.
It's just
the
good
greatest,
parenting.
Isn't it? Whoa, I mean, that's parenting 101.
It doesn't get any better when they're doing it at a little league game. That's the best.
That's the best.
Yeah. And not only in front of them, but at their games. That's just great parenting right there. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters tonight, 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5. He'll get into all of it for those of you that are soccer aficionados. Hey, Glenn, we appreciate it as always.
Guys, thanks for having me on. Have a great day.
Glenn Davis, and if you want to bet on the U.S. versus Honduras, I know where you can go. You can go right now to MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code bet975. Promo code bet975. Get in to the NFL. It starts Thursday. Are you in yet? Do you have your money down? Are you going to make any money? You knew who was going to win this weekend. Guess what happened? You didn't bet. You know why? Because you're not on my bookie. If you're on my bookie, you throw down some bets and you have a good time, a great time had by all. You know who's going to win, who's got the great. You got to bet on your team. I mean, the Texans are underdogs at home against the crappiest team in the league. Are you kidding me? Throw some shekels on it. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. They will double match your initial deposit, penny for penny, if this is the first time that you've ever been on mybookie.ag, promo code bet975, promo code bet975.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, let's talk about your website. If your website is trash right now and you know it's certified trash because you're looking at it and like, hey, this doesn't look like my competitors. No, it doesn't. That's the problem is you might have a great company, but the way that people know you is by your website. Your website is your own personal branding mechanism and branding tool. Do you have videos on there? Do you have your social media engagement the way that it should be? Do you have e-commerce available? There's so many things. That do you have a great logo, or do you have what it takes to keep people on your site longer so that you can convert them into business leads? That's what SiteJab does. Everything I just mentioned are going to be things that they do for you. Everything that I mentioned, all you have to do is make sure that your company turns it over to SiteJab, and you let the people here in Houston who've been doing this for over two decades do what they do best, which is create a website for you and site engagement and branding mechanisms in place to convert those eyes into business leads. Go to sitejab.com. Give them a call today, sitejab.com, to tighten up your website.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Some interesting notes, like, for example, a couple of things. First, how big a loss is Zach Martin for the Cowboys offensive line?
Big deal. That's a big loss. It's a huge loss. They were not the same team last year without Zach Martin. You know, Zach Martin,
Zeke said we lost our best offensive player.
No, he is, they're definitely their best offensive lineman. I didn't see if he was vaccinated or not vaccinated. I think he may have been.
I don't know.
I know there's some big name guys who aren't, and there's a big concern now that they're going to miss time. Like, it's weird that, you know, for me, I don't always wear masks everywhere. I know it's kicked back up, and if a place asks to wear a mask or whatever, I certainly will. But, you know, the entire time I waited for the vaccine, I did everything. You know, I followed all the protocols, all the rules. I'm not stupid about that stuff, but I'm also glad to see the stands filled back up, and it is awesome. It was great. It feels like, you know, you're getting back to normal, even though you know there's still a lot of people who are having issues. My brother was in the hospital two different times a couple weeks ago. Or 3 weeks ago. So it's, you know, you still have some issues. We were worried for my brother, and he's fully vaccinated. So at Delta is a mother, but the point that I want to make is that NFL teams, and you see U.S. midfielder McKinney and Carson Wentz was out. A couple different starters we saw, major starters in college football, were out. Clemson had one of their better players who had tested positive and was out. Like, this is still going to be a big factor this year, even though from a fan standpoint, it's not going to affect us the same way. From a viewing standpoint, it's not going to affect us. The way that it's going to affect you is, I don't think anything's changed with the teams. I think it's exactly like last year. Now, some of the ways that I don't think they're hassled as much if they're vaccinated, obviously. There's not the same level of scrutiny. But once you test positive, you're done. And how many people were you around? And it is absolutely going to play a role this year. We didn't see it as much last year in pro football that I can. Do you remember guys being out for massive protocol issues in the NFL? It seems like in the college, yes. I don't remember a bunch of positive tests and pros in terms of shutting down starters. I think we're going to see more starters out this year.
Well, because everybody's more lax this year.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think we'll see it affect the season this year more than last year.
We're trying to catch up here. TJ Watt, this is interesting. He is in danger. See, you can't hold out anymore. So there's a new term, just like opt out. We had at opt out. Now we have a hold in.
Yep. I hate this holding crap.
So
they're going to have to address this literally this offseason.
Like Deshaun, TJ Watt has just been off all preseason working on the side, has not taken part in team activities, team practice. He has just been off to the side working on his own, no team drills whatsoever, and the Steelers are, and it's thought that the Steelers are a team that pretty much they value practice, and you got to practice in order to play with pretty much all players. So TJ Watt not taking part in team drills, he may not play in week one because they haven't come to terms on a new contract for him.
This is tricky. You don't play, you're not getting paid. I mean, your money's gone. I don't think TJ will get to that point. What is happening with these hold-ins is just like Deshaun. They show up, but they don't really practice. But they're at camp. And so unless the team really wants to push it further, which they could, they don't get fined for that. And I don't think the team – I think the team ultimately wants TJ Watt there. See, the Texans are in a different spot. Texans, I think, want to trade Deshaun Watson now. So they're but TJ Watt, the Steelers want to keep TJ yeah. Watt. The thing is, the Steelers aren't known for doing the dumbest contracts out there. They played hardball with Antonio Brown, who became a bigger issue. Really, Le'Veon Bell was the one that really stands out, the Le'Veon Bell deal. They just didn't want to play ball with Le'Veon Bell. They said, no, we're not doing this. We're not going to just give in to what you want. He held out an entire year. Now you got TJ Watt, who's a hold in, so he doesn't have to get, you know, at some point the Steelers are going to have to make the same decision the Texans are, or non-decision, you know, not make a decision. They can say, look, TJ, we're going to play you, and if you don't play, you're going to lose your salary. You have 17 weeks that you get paid this year. It's about to go to 16, and it's your choice. They're either going to do that because they say his contract negotiations are at an impasse. The Steelers don't want to give him what he wants, and TJ Watt's saying, okay, then you don't get a no TJ Watt. So we'll see how long that lasts. We'll see if he ends up playing this week. He hasn't been practicing. I still think he'll come out and play good football. But
that's if they play him, because you don't, no practice, no play. It'll be interesting to see with this stalemate what happens with TJ Watt all season long. A guy that's standing there watching his teammates. 858 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Still ahead, Sage Rosenfels is going to join us at 9:15. We got a half hour with him and News of the Weird. So we got one segment basically left before we hit Sage Rosenfels here on ESPN 97.5. And I'm going to talk right now. I was up in, I saw my family up in Chicago this weekend for my niece's wedding, and a lot of my family hadn't seen me in a while. And I'm telling you, they were amazed. They were like, wow, your hair, it's a lot. There seems like it's more or something. Something went on with your hair. Are you wearing a wig? No, I'm not wearing a wig. No. What happened was I had Doc Linville. And I tried to explain what a Doc Linville, they didn't understand what a Doc Linville is. But a Doc Linville is a guy here in the city of Houston that gives you hair. He moves your hair from the side and back of your head to the top of your head. And guess what? You can't even tell that it came from the side and the back. And it's that kind of hair that's on the side and the back where it doesn't fall out. You'll notice the guys that are bald, they've always got the side hair because that hair doesn't fall out. So I've got a full head of hair, and it's all thanks to Doc Linville, and you can too. It's an easy process. You'll love it. You'll love the doc. You'll love the whole thing. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!